We continue our series, Following Jesus, and this morning, in honor of the class of 2020 and Pentecost, the theme is Discovering the Gift of You. Now, we've been in Luke, and I love the Gospel of Luke, as you know. Luke has so many great emphases of the Spirit. He lists up the role of women, and he lists up the poor and the marginalized in society. But this morning I'm going to read the parable of the talents, and I rather like the version in Matthew, sorry, better, only because it's really the same parable, just told in a little, probably different setting, but he uses the actual word talents as opposed to the unit minas, and so it translates so much better. So with apologies to Dr. Luke this morning, we are in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 and following. And the sun is bright this morning. So, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I did not scatter a seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. Then I returned, you would have received it with interest back. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he who had an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at discovering the gift of you this morning. And I love the story of Mandy, who is a high school senior. You can relate that, some of you who are out there. And she was all stressed out about applying to all the different college options. And she was quite bright and talented. And she decided she was going to apply to an Ivy League university along with the other ones. And she began to fill out the section of the application. And some of them were essay questions. And so she did the essays. But there was one section where you checked yes or no. And one of the questions was, are you a leader, yes or no? Well, Mandy did a little self-assessment, and she decided that really she was more the follower than the leader. And so she checked no for leader and said some prayers, sent it into the Ivy League admissions office, and she received this letter back from the admissions office. Dear Mandy, on behalf of the Board of Trustees, Alumni, and Office of Admissions, I would like to be the first to welcome you to the class of 1997. This year, we welcomed 4,688 new leaders to our university community. We thought it would be good if we had at least 1 follower. You know, it's so easy sometimes to want to follow the pressures to be one of the 4,688, even if that's not you. But that's not really what God would have us to do. And so when you think about this unique Sunday, which is a confluence of the graduation as we celebrate and lean into the class of 2020 and all that they have accomplished and all the future that lies before them, as well as Pentecost Sunday, when we think about the birth of the church and the Holy Spirit with us, God's presence with us. And the Spirit is all about developing our gifts. We're told that we all have gifts and talents. I thought it would be good to lean into discovering the gift of you and looking at this parable of the talents. It's interesting because there's a writer out there, popular writer by the name of Marcus Buckingham. I don't know if you've read any of his books, but he's fabulous. But one of the things that he does is takes a look at people's strengths versus their weaknesses and how they play towards them. And in fact, he was in a discussion. He worked for the Gallup poll over in the UK for a while. And they got in a discussion one morning about, do people tend to manage their weaknesses more or play to their strengths? And it was a heated discussion. So if you work for the Gallup poll, you do a survey, right? And so they did this survey asking people, do you tend towards managing your weaknesses more, or do you tend towards playing towards your strengths? And what they found was that 59% of the people tend to manage their weaknesses versus 41% play towards their strengths. And they've done a lot of work in that. He's written a number of books, and it's only changed marginally. So think for a moment about your own life. Do you tend towards managing your weaknesses, or do you tend towards your strengths? And it's interesting because there's a lot of our educational system, then what do? When a child comes home with a C, what do? We focus on the C subject, right? And instead of praising the A's or the B's. And some of our whole societal system is sort of managing weaknesses. But here in the scripture this morning, it's interesting, and I think in sort of a renewed birth is to lean into your strengths, because God has created each of us with gifts and talents that are very important. And so with that sort of intro, I invite you to walk back into this story this morning. And you know this story. It's a great one, because Jesus is telling this to this crowd of people. And we know that Jesus knows that he will soon be with the Father after he goes to Calvary and the resurrection, and is looking into the future, and he tells a story about this ruler who's going to go off into a distant land and return later. And he calls his servants to him. And to one, we're told, he gives 5 talents according to his ability, to another, 2 talents according to his ability, and to another, 1 talent according to his ability, and then goes away. Now, the one with 5 talents puts it to work immediately, we're told, and earns 5 more. And the one with 2 puts it to work again immediately and earns 2 more talents. But the one with 1 talent buries it, we're told, and nothing happens with that talent. And then the master returns and calls the servants to them. And the one with 5 comes and says, hey, I've made 5 more talents with what you give me. And the master praises him and said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into happiness. And the one with 2 talents comes and says, I've gained 2 more. And the same exact response, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness and share that happiness. And then the one who had 1 talent comes and said, listen, I knew you were a pretty harsh ruler, and so I buried that talent. Here is your talent back. And the response is, you should have at least given it to the bankers, and they could have made a little interest, and you could have returned that talent along, that interest along with that money. Now, it's an interesting story, is it not? And I know you know it well, but when you take a look at it this morning, is the first thing is, I think there's a number of things is when we look at the stewardship of our own gifts and talents, and I love the idea of it, it's a talent is a unit of money, is the first thing that it's planned. You know, it's intentional. And I think the same thing for our own talents. You know, the truth is that we all have talents. And when we look at biblical stewardship, oftentimes the church has talked about time, treasure, and talent. Okay, so we all have some time, we all have some treasure, we all have some talent. And for a lot of us, we tend to maybe look at someone who's got the talents that we want, don't we? I have said this before, that my dream is that I would be able to sing like Elvis and play guitar like Carlos Santana. I'm sorry, it ain't going to happen. I can sing, but not like Elvis. I can play guitar, but not like Carlos Santana. But it's so easy for us to want to bury our talents and look at someone else who we think has more, the ones that we would really value, you know, the 5 or the 2 or whatever. But the truth is, if you look at this, that everybody had talent. Now, just so you know, a unit of talent is about 10,000 denarii of that time, and so a denarii is about a day's wages. So people who studied this said this, one talent was 25 to 30 years of wages. It was a lifetime of wages, and so even though one got 5 and one got 2 and one just got one. They all had something. And so the idea, the emphasis is, what do you do with that? So the first thing is to discover our talents. What are our talents? And I love the little mnemonic that Rick Warren has called SHAPE. You've probably heard me say it before, but S stands for our spiritual gifts. We all have spiritual gifts. God has given us some unique spiritual gifts that are part of the church and part of God's family of faith, the body of Christ. And then there's H, which is our heart. What's your passion? What do you really care about? Maybe you get fired up about social justice, or maybe you're a person who really cares about the weak, and so you're drawn towards those who are in the hospital, those who are in need, various things. And so then there's A, which is our abilities, our natural abilities, which are separate and distinct from, but complementary to, our spiritual gifts. So what are your natural abilities? Some people are gifted with musical abilities. Some people are great at math or science, and there's so many other natural abilities, but they all need to be developed. So there's P, which is personality. Some people are more extroverted. Some people are more introverted. Some people love to be in front of people. Some people want to kind of be behind the scenes. There's all kinds of personalities. And it isn't sort of yes or no, but they're all beautiful gifts from God. And then E is experience. So experience, we all think about our good experience. Those are the things that are going to help us. But truth be told, many times the adversity and challenge and even difficulties and sometimes even failures that we go through become gifts of experience that often can lead to avenues of ministry. Sometimes the door of failure being closed opens the door to a new opportunity. God can use all those experiences. I know people who have lost a loved one, and their ministry became reaching out to those who'd lost loved ones. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians that we are able to minister to those in need by the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And so our experience is both positive and negative. And so we all have our unique shape. And so sometimes we need to be intentional about discovering them. You can take some personality tests. There's lots of ones that are online, Enneagram, DISC, Myers-Briggs. And just sometimes you can see those other ones. Or sometimes you can just talk to our friends and our parents or grandparents, because they know. They'll tell us, when you were three, you picked up this little guitar, right? Or you started reading to your animals, and so you'd probably be a good teacher. There's other kinds of things, and so we lean into that, and we begin to plan, how do we do that? Because even though we have talents, we have to plan that. We're going to figure out how to develop those talents. We're going to get a degree, or we're going to do an internship, or whatever we're going to do, and so to plan. And next thing is that it's proportional. We think about giving, we think about giving back to God. The biblical pattern is 10%, right, a tithe. The truth is that, notice that all these things were the master's gifts to them, and how they used them were their gifts back to the master. And so the truth is that all of our talents, all of our time, treasure, and talent are gifts to us from God. God has entrusted those, and how we give those back to God, whether it's in church or society, is a gift back to God. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to, the one who was given five talents was judged by five talents, by his or her ability. The one who was given two talents was judged by the talents they were given. And the one who was given one talent wasn't put on a harder grid, right? They were just going to be judged by the same kind of thing. And so the one who had five and made five more, and the one who had two and made two more, were both given the exact same words of praise and encouragement from the master. And so it is with us. So we can think about proportional giving, and how do we give back to the Lord. And then the third thing is that it's purposeful. What are the purpose of our gifts? Well, it's always to build up the body of Christ. It's always to build up those around us. You think of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and following, Paul gives this imagery of the body of Christ. And he says, listen, if you look at the church like the body of Christ, everybody can't be an arm, everybody can't be a leg, right? We all have our ministry. And he goes on to say, those who are leaders should lead, those who encourage should encourage, those who show mercy should show mercy, those whose gift is hospitality should do so with delight, and those who give should do so joyfully. And so we all have gifts and talents, and they're to build each other up. And so what are we doing with the gifts that we have that shows the purpose of God in Christ? And when we have the purpose and we connect our gifts with the passion and all of our experiences, then we flourish in ways and we feel happy in a way that is beautiful and amazing. I love the story of Amy Carmichael, and I've shared it before, but I love it because Amy Carmichael shares, and John Ortberg tells a story that when she was very young, she was 6 years old, she was in a Sunday school class, and she noticed that all the girls around her had blue eyes and she had brown eyes. And so when they'd ask for prayer requests every Sunday in Sunday school class, she would always have a prayer request that she wanted blue eyes. And the teacher, you know, honored that, but after a while, Amy realized that she was never really going to have blue eyes. And so that phase sort of passed. Well, in her teenage years, after she had graduated from high school, she decided that she was going to do a mission trip during the summer over in India. And so she went and she ministered to these kids of the village, and they just took to her. And she just did incredible kinds of things. And so partway through the summer, the women of the village were chatting with her and said, you know, there have been a number of girls from the same mission program who've come, and their work just didn't flourish like yours, but you have really connected with them. And Amy said, well, what do you think that is? Why do you think that is? And the women said, you know, their eyes were blue, and all of our eyes are dark, and your eyes are just brown enough that the kids can feel a connection with you. And Amy Carmichael records that she later wrote in her diary, she said, you know, God's plans for us are infinitely more amazing than our own plans often are for us. What is it that you look at today and you might think that this isn't the talent that I want, but God has a unique ministry for you. And if you will lean into your talents and your gifts, you will discover that you have a ministry inside and outside the world. Now listen, sometimes people think, well, you know, if you are a pastor or a missionary or something, that you're called by God, but not if you're a teacher, firefighter, police officer, or, you know, a doctor or nurse. And then nothing could be further from the truth. One of the truths that was really embraced in Reformation was that we all are called by God. It doesn't matter what your profession is, we're all called. And so God needs teachers who are called every bit as much as God needs pastors. We obviously know, as we look into the sad headlines this week, that God needs good police officers who have a heart for justice and mercy out there in our streets. We need firefighters. We know that that's a calling. We know that being plumbers are called. We need people who are doing those kinds of things. We are so thankful for our audio people here this morning and our video people and our musicians. All of that is a calling. Listen, our gifts may not be equal when we look at them. Sometimes we want someone else's gifts, but we're all equal before God. God has called us all. And the world's rankings for you and I, whatever that might be, our culture thinks of popularity and power and things like that. God thinks about serving others, even as Jesus served others. And so this morning, think about the purpose of your gifts. How can you discover your gifts, and then how can you develop them? And the last thing then is to be positive. Jesus, in the end of this parable, comes down kind of hard on the person who buried the talent. And I think that the reason for that is that he wants to give a wake-up call to us. But in general, when you see Jesus, he admonishes in a positive way. And I think he is underscoring a truth that is really important, which is use it or lose it. Isn't that the way that gifts are anyway? I mean, if you have the gift of music and you never use it, you never take lessons, you never practice it, you never go to the next level, you're eventually gonna lose that, right? But if you put it to work, it will grow, just as in this parable. And so the admonishment is that to embrace who you are, the shape that God has created you to be, and when you do, when you put those talents to work, you will find that you'll be fruitful and you will feel fulfilled in your ministry. The 17th century violin maker by the name of Stradivarius believed that his gift of making violins was a calling from God. And he said that if he didn't make violins to the very best of his ability, that he would not be honoring God. It's also true that if you leave the very best violin alone and never play it, including a Stradivarius, that the wood will become brittle and it will not play any longer. A violin needs to be played, and a violin maker needs to make violins. And so you and I, whatever we're doing, we need to practice our gifts and talents. I know that our music team practices fervently, and some of our sound people that are here this morning work really hard at that. You know, I work hard on the message, so I hope that it shows most Sundays. But teachers work hard on what they're doing. They have been challenged in this unique pandemic to work even harder, to take what they normally do and to put it into a new medium. And so we have people that are working all around our world. And so this morning, think of Jesus, that thought of that parable, to use it or lose it, but if you put it to work, it will grow. Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, said this about giving. He said, "Give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing." And so that's the positive piece and all that. And so that image might be lost on us, but this was sort of very much an agrarian society. And so what would happen is when the workers were out in the field and worked hard all day, and the owner could see that, he would allow them to take the last bushel of the day home. And they would make sure that it was pressed down with all the grain, right, if you have this, shaken together. So, right, if you shake it, you're going to make sure it all goes down, you put some more on, and then overflowing. And so Jesus is saying that if we serve him, that he wants us to be blessed in a way that is pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And the way to do that is use our time, our treasure, and our talents, all the gifts that God has given us to serve others. And so in closing, I just want to again say that when we look at our talents, all of our life, that there's the planned part, there's the proportional part, there's the purposeful part, and then there's that part that's positive. But I want to also underscore seven truths that I've mentioned and just sort of click them off in your head, is that we all have talents, time, treasure, and talent. Discover your gifts and talents. Discover who God has made you to be and to lean into that. And that giving is not equal, but we're all equal. It's easy to look at the person with, we think that's five talents, but God has given us all something. God wants us to use that. And our gifts are all from God, and how we use them is our gift back to God. To use what we have and to put it to work, to exercise it, and then it's not what we do, but how we do it that becomes a ministry and a blessing to others. And then finally, use it or you will lose it, but put it to work and you will grow. I want to close with this thought, which is that I love music, even though I would not call myself a musician, but I love jazz. And so one of my favorite jazz musicians is John Coltrane. And John Coltrane was just an incredible jazz musician, but he struggled with addiction most of his life. And later on in life, he had this God moment where God just touched him and he was free from addiction. And he wrote this incredible album piece called Love Supreme, which is the most sort of joyful, ebullient piece of music you could ever listen to. And so he used to close all of his concerts with a little testimony about his own struggles and God's blessing. And then he would play this piece of jazz music that he composed to God as Love Supreme. And at one point late in his life, after he played that, he just walked out and said, "Nunc Dimittis," which of course is, the moment when the Lord, the baby is, Jesus is brought into the temple and the prophet comes forward and in the beginning is Nunc Dimittis. And we say that at a funeral too. It's like, now I can go in peace because I've lived my life. I've used my gifts. God has blessed me and I have blessed others. It isn't just where we are in life. We think about those who are in a milestone this morning, class of 2020, but the Spirit is always at work. The day of Pentecost is the Spirit with us, and the Spirit helps us use our gifts and talents in a way that empowers us, 5, 10 times more than we could ever do on our own. So I challenge us to lean into the Spirit and to develop our unique shape of our time, treasure, and talents so they're gifts back to others. And if you felt like you haven't done that, and the ship has already sailed, then look at John Coltrane, who used his gifts and talents but discovered a new God experience, and suddenly the gifts and talents he used became a new avenue of ministry that have blessed people for years and years since then. So this morning, I challenge all of us to use our time, treasure, and talents in ways that would bless others and honor God. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, this morning is a morning when we honor our graduates. We think about all they've accomplished, but we see them look into the future, and our hearts, our prayers, our praise are with them. And I also think about Pentecost, when even though you ascended to be with the Father, you sent the Spirit to be with us as our comforter, our empowerer, the one who wraps around us and strengthens us. Help us all to discover that we all have time, treasure, and talent. We're all uniquely blessed and gifted from you. And help us to begin a new chapter of adventure in our life where we continue to discover and develop our gifts and use them to serve you and bless others. We pray this all through Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.